A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On that day, they will sing this song in the land of Judah. A strong city have we. He sets up walls and ramparts to protect us. Open up the gates to let in a nation that is just, one that keeps faith. A nation of firm purpose you keep in peace. In peace, for its trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an eternal rock. He humbles those in high places, and the lofty city he brings down. He tumbles it to the ground, levels it with the dust. It is trampled underfoot by the needy, by the footsteps of the poor. The word of the Lord. The theme common to all three readings today, I mean the first reading, which I just have read, and the responsorial psalm, and the gospel according to Matthew, that the common theme is entry. Now, the word doesn't occur in the first reading, but we do here open up the gates to let in a nation that is just. And then in the response, we hear, open to me the gates of justice. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. And Jesus begins in the gospel reading from Matthew, none of those who cry out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who enters, who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now the gospel raises the question just what it is to do the will of the Father in heaven. First of all, we recognize that the justice talked about in the reading from Isaiah and the reading from the Psalms, that justice means, biblically, to do the will of God. And so the theme for entering in is the same in all three readings, too. Be just. Do the will of God. But what does that mean? Now, the first reading from Isaiah can give us some help in understanding the meaning of justice or doing the will of God. There are, in this reading, two parts, really, the first two verses of a longer hymn in the book of Isaiah. It begins, a strong city have we. He sets up walls and ramparts to protect us. Now, who is he? Well, the Jerome Biblical Commentary says that a more correct reading or translation of this opening would be, a strong city savior have we. It is the savior of the city who sets up the walls and ramparts to protect us. It is the savior who opens the gates and lets in a nation that is just. And, turning to the second verse, or the second part of the reading, it is the Lord, the Savior, who is an eternal rock, and he humbles those in high places. And the high places are trampled underfoot by the needy, by the footsteps of the poor. So, the Savior, the builder of the city, the one who opens up the gates to let the just nation enter, the nation that does the will of the Father. This God is one who identifies with the poor and even uses the needy and the poor to accomplish his purpose in destroying those who inhabit the high places. It is this identification of God with the poor that we celebrate in this season of Advent leading up to Christmas. For we anticipate the coming of a Savior born among the poor, born of a poor working family, not even in their home, as humble as it may have been, but on the road in a strange city in Jerusalem, forced to give birth to their first child, Mary's first child, in a stable, in a place of animals, returning after a sojourn in Egypt to Nazareth, where they lived as a working family, as a carpenter or builder, not among the high and the mighty, and where later the Savior Jesus would give up even the source of income he had to go out preaching, relying upon the generosity of others to support him and his followers. Yes, and choosing followers who are also among the humble, not among the educated or the working classes, but were fishermen and others who came to hear him. And finally, of course, this Savior, this builder of the mighty city, died as a criminal, even lower than the poorest, as a criminal, one condemned by his people. That is how God, the builder of the city, who invites us to enter in, that is how he identified with his people, with his poorest people. He invites us to be just, to be like him, to identify with the poor, to be like the poor. Now, we are all really poor in our relationship with God, depending upon him for everything. But we're also invited to look at the poor and see how they act when they are about building the kingdom of God. It has been my personal experience with family members, with friends, and with those to whom I preach, that often the poor are more generous than the rich. I will just cite one example from my preaching experience with food for the poor. One parish I went to, a middle-class, small-town parish in the Midwest, there were four masses on the weekend, three in English, one in Spanish. I thought, well, of course, I'll get the most money from the three English masses, and I'll feel happy if I get a few dollars from the Spanish mass. The results, when I counted it up, I received more from the Spanish Mass than from the three English Masses put together, and maybe my assumption that the Spanish people were poorer was wrong. But it seems to me that this is a striking example of what I have experienced elsewhere. The poor the middle-class parishes are often more generous in giving according to their means than wealthier parishes. We are invited today to enter into God's kingdom by God the Builder, by God who in Jesus became poor, so that he might live and act as a poor person. The poor can be very generous, and it is their generosity that we are invited to share in these readings.